Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Stocks again closed at record highs, with investors completely brushing off the government shutdown, now in its second day. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, let's bring on Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, and check out their website, horizoninvestment.com. Chuck, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Thanks for having me back, Andy. I appreciate it.
Yes, and so as I mentioned in the lead, stocks closed at record highs, and this is, what, go figure, day two of the government shutdown. So your takeaway?
Well, I think the takeaway is, you know, I've been doing this for over 40 years, so I've been through government stoppages and shutdowns, and I can't remember a time where those stoppages had any lasting effect on the market. In fact, a lot of the times, if the market sold off on uncertainty around these stoppages, it turned out to be a pretty good buying opportunity.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I think that's why the market's not even, I mean, they're completely shrugging this off, because the last couple go-arounds, I remember going in and buying the dips and being paid handsomely in a very short amount of time. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think you're right. I think there's enough folks out there that have been through this, know these kind of temporary things present opportunities, and thus you're not really getting much of a sell-off here in the market. And the other thing I think is, yes, October tends to be maybe a little dicey for the market, but those seasonal tendencies haven't held up at all this year. That whole old adage, sell in May and go away. If you sold in May and went away this year, we're really sad that you did.
Yeah, that would be a really bad move, especially
yeah,
when we were
the bottom,
clicking. Yeah, sell the bottom and then go away. Yeah, you don't want to do that too often. Go ahead.
Right. So I think this notion of people fearful of October might be a little overstated. And I think, you know, we're getting into earnings season, so there's going to be other data points and information coming out. And finally, I guess the market doesn't see this lasting, you know, long enough to start to kind of mess up things. And in fact, you know, the market could be looking at this as somewhat of a silver lining if, in fact, it does give the president cover to try to reduce spending and so forth, and the, you know, the market might like that. But I think that the overriding thing is just, we've been here, seen it, done it. It hasn't had a big impact. It's provided opportunity. So unless this thing drags on for weeks and weeks and months, we're not going to worry about it. You know, at lunch today, for example, I was talking to some people and the subject came up, and I said, boy, your life has been impacted by this work stoppage, hasn't it? Jokingly, and nobody around the table said, no, I have felt no effect of this. So, you know, I'm not sure that it's something that the market really cares about. I mean, at the end of the day, Andy, you know, we talk about it all the time.
Three things.
But
What are those three things? Go ahead. They really drive the direction of the market. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's inflation, interest rates, and corporate profits. Inflation, interest rates, and corporate profits. So unless these sorts of developments ultimately have a significant impact on interest rates, inflation, and corporate profits, then they don't matter to the market. Now, could you draw somewhat of a straight line if, in fact, this goes on and on and on, which impacts the government's ability to produce reports such as the employment report and things like those sorts of reports that the Fed supposedly is focused, their data focused on whether they're going to reduce rates. And so if, in fact, they're not getting the reports they need and the data they need to make judgments on interest rates and monetary policy, which means interest rates don't go down, then maybe you have some connection here that could be a little bit painful for the market. But again, I think that's a reach. And that also implies that this goes on for a lot longer than I think it will.
Well, and you touched on those three things that actually drive the market, and they all are pretty decent, to be honest. I'm going to throw one little blanket on all of this, and it's something we talk about all the time. You know, I'm going to throw this out there. The Dow transports, though, they keep on lagging.
They do. And that's a reason to have some dry powder. I mean, we kind of look a little bit silly here, I suppose, with everything going to new highs. But, if you have a process and you have a tool, you need to follow the process, especially if the process has been effective for you over time. And so, yeah, we have some dry powder almost exclusively because of the lackadaisical movement in the Dow Jones Transportation Average. It might surprise some people, quite honestly, to know that while everything seems to be going up and up and up, the Dow Jones Transportation Average, I think, is flat to lower year to date and over the last 12 months. So it's there is an important part of the economy, an important part that is saying, maybe this is going to turn out okay, but maybe having a little bit of dry powder isn't the worst thing in the world. You know, it's interesting, Andy, if you look at a chart of the Dow Jones Transportation Average, we're going to get some resolution of this sluggishness sooner rather than later. I mean, it is mapping out almost a straight sideways pattern at this point. And typically those sorts of line formations, you'll get a breakout. Sometimes a breakout can be to the downside, unfortunately, but sometimes it can be to the upside. How that breaks out of this sideways trading, and again, I think it's probably going to happen sooner rather than later, is going to say a lot about the continued vitality of things. So it's still an index worth watching, and it's still an index that makes us say, hey, we've got 80-85% in stocks, but I'm willing to hold the last 15-20% out and see how this shakes out with the transports.
I know they always say, markets like to climb a wall of worry, but is there any chance that investors have gotten complacent with all of this a bit?
I don't know. I have two things about that point. One of the adages that I think is a truism in the market is never sell a dull market short. And dullness to me almost implies complacency. And so I think it's a mistake to necessarily take a complacent or to try to infer complacency. The other thing is, There are a lot of institutional investors that are not complacent. The individuals, it's always kind of hard to judge sentiment for individuals, right? Because it's like, what are they saying, but what are they actually doing? And, consumer sentiment readings coming out of the University of Michigan have been bad. So, and then one of the tools that we use to assess investor sentiment, and not to get too thick in the weeds, but it looks at this percentage of stocks that are trading above their 200-day moving average. And it's basically a concept that works off of the idea of reversion to the mean, which says when things run to extremes, at some point, they will revert back to some equilibrium level. And I think it works with stocks, too. And one way to measure that is by looking at stocks as a percentage of the stocks that are trading above a 200-day moving average, thinking that a 200-day moving average is a reasonable proxy for a stock's equilibrium price range. So if you have lots and lots and lots of stocks, and I'll quantify that in a moment, that are trading above this equilibrium level, reversion to the mean says at some point, these stocks are probably going to drift lower. Conversely, if you have very few stocks that are trading above and most are trading below, reversion to the mean says at some point they'll migrate upward to that equilibrium level. Anytime the percentage gets above, say, 80%, that's when I start to worry. That's when investor sentiment, in my mind, is really over the top and dangerous, and usually you're going to have a market pullback. Right now, that percentage is about 63%. So it's a little elevated, but it's not at outlier levels that show me that investor sentiment is just off the charts bullish. So I think, to answer your guess, a hugely long-winded way of answering your question, I don't think investors' complacency should be taken as an investor ebullience or an investor that is so excited over the top about stocks, because I don't think the stuff that we use doesn't indicate that. Anecdotally, I'm not getting that. And what I'm looking at institutions and what they're doing, and the fact we still have, what, $7, $8 trillion in money market funds out there that are basically on the sidelines. I don't think I think the sentiment is such that we can still continue to see a rising market.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk to Chuck about how to play it all. But hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If that's an option for you, I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Thursday. We'll be right back with Chuck after the break.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, back with Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website horizoninvestment.com. All right, so Chuck, as we were heading into break, I teased how to play it all, especially for those investors who have a little dry powder, but for the most part are fully invested. Many of them played or bought the dip. What's your advice for them?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to take some money off the table because you've gotten some huge gains in some of the stocks, I'm not going to stop you. I would not necessarily be trying to time this market to avoid, you know, setbacks of 5 to 10%. That's a fool's errand, quite frankly, I think. And if you are seeing stocks that you think are offering pretty good value, go ahead and buy them. And if you want to maintain some dry powder, I think that's fine. We're getting toward the end of the year where maybe you can do some tax harvesting and selling some of your losers to offset winners, and you can start to kind of rejigger your portfolio looking at that. But again, the best advice I can tell you about that is what we're doing. And what we're doing is constantly looking for opportunities. If we see them, we're buying them, and we're trying to balance that out against keeping a little bit of dry powder, you know, around 15%, maybe 17%, and take advantage if, in fact, we do get individual stocks that pull back aggressively or we get a broad pullback in the market.
And then as far as some unique stocks to play, maybe some stocks that aren't on everybody's radar, and we're talking about deploying that dry powder, you have a website called UpsideStocks.com. And I'd like to get a couple picks from your UpsideStocks.com list, Chuck.
Well, one of the stocks that I continue to like is, symbol is ATGE, Adtalem Global. Adtalem Global, some folks in Chicago may remember, is a new version of DeVry Institute. And several years ago, DeVry kind of ran into some issues. They've worked through them. But what I like about Adtalem is that they are a major provider of employment for the healthcare and training for the healthcare system. They operate the largest nursing school in the United States. They operate vet schools and doctor MD schools in the Caribbean. And most people know that there is a tremendous shortage of nursing help in the hospital system right now. So this company is in the training area and training in an area that is desperately in need of help. And if you think about it, these training institutions have really kind of taken on an important role in the labor force, as you see more and more college graduates having difficulty finding jobs, whether it's because of AI or whatever. I mean, and we're talking historically, you know, computer science technology students, which had jobs pretty much guaranteed when they left college, and that has become more of a struggle versus trades, things like nursing schools, et cetera, where there is a tremendous demand and where, you know, the impact of AI is going to be, you know, much less of a factor in with a nursing degree. And so I think Adtalem is in a nice catbird seat here. The earnings have been rising nicely. I think that's going to continue. Again, that's AT as in Tom, GE is the symbol, and the company is Adtalem Global. So that's one pick. A second pick, and it's a theme that has been working very well for us for probably the last 18 months. But I think it's a theme that will continue to have legs, and it's these engineering and construction firms that are instrumental in the build-out of data centers. And two names in that space that I think are pretty attractive is Sterling Infrastructure, the symbol is STRL, and Comfort Systems, the symbol is FIX, FIX. Those two stocks are prominent in that space, in various construction and engineering areas in the data center space. They've done extremely well. We think they can continue to do well, and they are certainly not household names with investors. So those are two stocks, Sterling Infrastructure, STRL, and Comfort Systems, FIX.
And those are, again, from your UpsideStocks.com list. Explain what the kind of stocks that are on that list, Chuck.
Yeah, those are UpsideStocks.com covers small and mid-sized companies. And that's an area that is generally uncovered or not covered closely by Wall Street. And so you, with a little bit of work and a tool, and we have that tool in our Quadrix stock rating system that can rank more than 3,000 stocks, it's a fertile ground for finding opportunities. And the one thing I'll say too, Andy, is that the small cap stock area is not for the faint of heart, but the dynamics of that sector make it such that it's, in my mind, it's a very poor sector to employ index investing in that. And they're for a number of reasons. One of them is the universe of publicly traded stocks, and this is something we should talk about sometime on your show here, is shrinking. I mean, the stock market is shrinking in terms of the number of companies that are publicly traded. You had maybe 10, 15 years ago, you'd had 8 to 9,000 publicly traded stocks. That number today is probably closer to about 3,500. The Wilshire 5,000, the Wilshire 5,000 index has about 3,400 components in it.
And, speaks to one. At one time, it was 5,000 stocks in that index.
Right. So what you have is, and for a number of reasons, companies just don't go public as soon as they used to. You've had a lot of mergers and acquisitions activity, not just for public companies, but also for private companies that will never get the chance to be public because they were bought out. The upshot is that the supply is dropping at the same time demand for stocks is rising. And if you're looking for kind of a macro theme as to one of the things that's buttressed the stock market and its ability to move higher, is the simple fact that stock market is a market driven by supply and demand. And if you have a shrinking supply and a greater demand as more dollars come into the market, that's going to drive stock prices higher. But where this shrinking market has really impacted things has been in the small cap space, because now there aren't a fresh group of small caps that are coming into the market. And the companies that are staying small are companies that aren't growing and becoming mid and large companies. So consequently, indices like the Russell 2000 that have to find 2,000 small cap stocks have a lot of junk in them. And if you look, I think a third of the Russell 2000 small cap index has unprofitable companies. So if you're indexing small cap stocks using these prominent indices, those prominent indices are really contaminated with crappy stocks. And that's where active management can really pay have rewards if you want to invest in small cap stocks. And I think that works to the advantage, I'm biased, but that works to the advantage of what we do in the small cap space via our upsidestocks.com.
I knew there were less publicly traded companies, but I didn't realize they had dropped off to that degree. And that's certainly an interesting conversation. We should delve into that, deeply into that sometime soon. You know, as far as today's convo, just wanted to talk about sectors that you think are best poised right now as well, as we're kind of wrapping things up today. What areas of the market do you think are poised to continue to really run, and what areas are you a little reluctant to deploy cash? One area that's been a lagger that I've put some money in recently was the Pfizers, the J&Js, the Amgens. They've just seen undervalued. They've been under a lot of pressure. They haven't taken off with the rest of the market. I figured that would be a good place to deploy some cash, and they have nice dividends. But thoughts along those lines, and then maybe areas that you like or dislike.
Yeah, some of the weaker areas this year are healthcare, which you kind of highlighted, consumer staples, energy, and those have been tough areas. Healthcare, we do have some representation in, but energy and consumer staples have been tough areas to really play. You do get some pretty good dividends, which pays you for your patience, but I think you're going to have to be fairly patient. Your purchases in healthcare were pretty well timed, in a sense. It looks like healthcare stocks are starting to catch a bid here. And you look at some of the dividend yields in there. You mentioned Pfizer, it's yielding 7%. I mean, and it looks like the dividend is reasonably pretty well covered, actually. So that's an area, if you're trying to bottom fish or bargain hunt, that's an area to look at. I think another area that I think looks interesting are financials. And some of the regional banks are going to get a play and catch a bid on, for a number of reasons. One, I think a little bit of a softening interest rate environment should be good news for them. Secondly, you're going to see tons of merger and acquisitions activity in the regional bank space. And so you're going to see a lot of M&A activity driving those stocks values higher as well. So I think financials is an area that we have started to add to, and that's an area I think investors should be looking at as well.
All right, as we wrap up the conversation today, what's the big takeaway?
I think the takeaway is don't get caught up in all the externals that make the headlines, but don't really have anything to do with the stock market. And that, whether that's government stoppages or wars or whatever, focus on what matters. And those are interest rates, inflation, and corporate profits. It's okay if you have a little bit of dry powder on the sidelines, if you're seeing a stock or two that you want to own that you feel is pulled back into a attractive price range. I think I'm going to give you permission to go ahead and get it. And then finally, I think we're probably in a position here for the market to finish out with reasonable strength in 2025.
All right. Big thanks to Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services. And check out their website, horizoninvestment.com. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If that's an option for you, I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, be sure to turn on the notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Thursdays. And I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.